It doesn't take Sherlock Holmes to deduce malicious intent. Welcome to Quarantinema, a.k.a. Quarantinema, a.k.a. Quarantine Enema, the only podcast where we don't know how to say the name of the show. My name is Connor Sullivan. Thank you very much for joining us today. It's going to be a light one this week, if we're being honest. So I have just not been watching movies lately. I mean, I know exactly why. It's because playoff baseball is on. The games are four plus hours long, and they're on every night almost. So, this week I watched very few movies and very little TV, so I really don't have much to talk about. But I do have a couple of things that we'll get through. So why don't we just get right into it? Let's make this a short episode. Let's make this 30 minutes or less. Let's do that today. Okay. All right. So today, one of the two movies that I watched this week, I've actually already talked about on the show before, probably a year ago, almost to the day, when we last spoke about it. We're going to be talking about Hubie Halloween, the Netflix Adam Sandler Halloween delight of a movie. All right, let's get right into it. So Hubie Halloween, if you're an Adam Sandler fan, you know, whether it's old Adam Sandler, new Adam Sandler, somewhere in between, I think that this movie you will enjoy. Like, I have no problem admitting that this movie has no business being as funny as it is. It is not a great movie by any means, but it feels like it's a class. It has that like '90s Adam Sandler feel to it. You know, with just the character he's playing. After like 2000, like we started seeing like just Adam Sandler just keep doing like a somewhat similar version of the same character, just in like a new location with pretty much the same cast. Most of, you know, all the Adam Sandler, you know, reoccurring cast members are in this one, you know, Steve Buscemi and Rob Schneider and Kevin James and even Jenna Bowen, Julie Bowen, she's in Happy Gilmore. I recognize her more so from Modern Family, but she's also from Happy Gilmore as well, so she's back as well. The cast also includes Ray Liotta, Maya Rudolph, Tim Meadows, Michael Chiklis, Shaquille O'Neal, Kenan Thompson, June Squibb. So it's a loaded cast. Noah Schnapp from Stranger Things. We've been talking about Stranger Things a little bit lately. So with this movie, I saw it a year ago, and when it came out, and the consensus seemed to be like, because normally like I have no interest in, you know, like the Adam Sandler like Netflix movies. You know, I haven't heard one good thing about any of them. But you know, Adam Sandler's tough because like his movies get bad reviews. That's what they do. They get bad reviews and people like to shit on them. Rightfully so, often. But then, you know, every now and then something like this comes along. So Adam Sandler is not for everybody. He just isn't. But, you know, I like him. He was kind of in his prime when I was growing up. So, of course, you know, Adam Sandler movies are, although we really haven't covered that many of them at length here on the show, they have been a prominent, part of my childhood growing up was watching Adam Sandler. So it's cool to kind of see him get the band back together and kind of do one of these silly characters. When I saw the movie a year ago, I had watched it just because, like, the consensus seemed to be that, like, okay, this is, like, if you like old Adam Sandler, like, it's funny. Like, it's funnier than anything he's done, you know, in a long time. So I was like, all right, you know, like, I could just use a, you know, mindless, stupid thing to watch. So I just kind of threw it on, and I actually ended up really enjoying it a lot more than I thought I was going to. Same exact thing this time. Like, I was just looking for, like, 90 minutes to kill, and I was like, you know what, like, I want to just throw something on that's, you know, I could just, you know, kind of turn my brain off. And, you know, with it being Halloween and like all this stuff, you know, you start, for some reason, Hubie Halloween was just like on my mind. I was like, you know what? So like, I'm not even going to lie. Like I actually sought it out. I didn't just scroll across it like on the timeline on Netflix. It's like, I actually typed in and searched for Hubie Halloween and I found it. And second time viewing, I'm not going to lie, better. This movie gets better. Because, like, it, you know, similar with a lot of, like, the old Adam Sandler stuff, like, there's very little thing. Like there's just a bunch of, like, little things going on in the background or throwaway lines that you're just like, oh, that's, you know, it doesn't make sense. Like, you don't, it doesn't really register the first time. But then the second time, it's just like, oh, like, you know, you pick up on stuff that you didn't pick up on before. So, I don't know. I just, like, Hubie's such a fun character. Like, yeah, yes, the story's cheesy as can be. You know, it's not like it's a, you know, an acting tour de force or anything like that, or any sort of a comedic masterpiece, but it's just a fun movie. like, you know, the first 10 minutes of this movie are hysterical to me. They're absolutely hysterical for some reason. You know, with like the scene where, the scene where Hubie's riding his bike down the streets of Salem, which, and you know, like we've got friends in Salem. You know, I spend, you know, an okay amount of time up there, so you kind of recognize certain parts, you know, that they shot in. I think I actually applied to be an extra in this movie. I didn't even get like a confirmation email saying that they hit my thing. Not that I was like dying to do it, but still, yeah. So, you know, seeing all that, it's, you're just like, oh yeah, like I know that place and I know this place. And but the scene where, you know, he's he's riding down the road and he takes like he's having eggs thrown at him and he catches the eggs in his thermos, which is this like, you know, super industrial like Swiss Army thermos. Apparently that's one of the running gags in the movie, is that, you know, the thermos has all these other tools inside of it in addition to having hot soup. So he basically catches the eggs in the thermos and then he drinks the eggs out of the thermos, and like in one take he's riding along and just violently throws up like all over the street. And for like, you know, I feel like a child for laughing at this as hard as I did, but like I can't not laugh at this clip whenever I see it. And it's funny because like it's my favorite bit in the movie and it's in the first like, you know, 2 minutes. And you'd think like the movie goes downhill from there, and you know, I'm not saying it doesn't, but you know, it's still pretty funny throughout. But just like little shit like that, and then there's other stuff throughout, like Melissa Villaseñor from SNL. She plays one of his neighbors in the movie, and at one point, like Adam Sandler, like he ends up with like a cat or something. He's holding a cat for some reason. And she's like, hey, like, give me back my cat. And he literally just, like, throws the cat at her. Like, for just stupid shit like this. I'm just, man. It's, like, the movie's just so silly. And, like, you know, we're pro-silly on the show. We've talked about that many times with many different, you know, comedies around here. So, like, once you just accept the fact that, like, this is just what the movie is, like, it's really easy to enjoy, you know. There's just some people who it's like, you know, they just can't, you know, it's too silly, it's too dumb, it's too this, it's too that. It's just like, and I get it, I totally get it. I've seen hundreds of movies like this that just are not funny and, you know, are just not, completely not worth the time. But I stand before you, behind this microphone, telling you that Hubie Halloween is funny and good. It's a terrible like story, terrible acting, terrible writing, terrible everything, and I loved every second of it. You know, I take that back. It's not terrible. the intent is to make you laugh, and it does. So, and one thing with like Adam Sandler, like over the years, I've listened to more and more interviews with him, and he's like, you know, one of the things that people shit on him for is just like, yeah, it's just like a similar concept. Most of his movies have a similar concept, but they're just in like a different location. And he's just like, and you know, he works with the same cast members all the time, you know, like Chris Rock and David Spade, Rob Schneider, Kevin James, you know, numerous others. And he basically just told people, it's like, well, yeah, like I just go where I want to go for a vacation. You know, I make sure the movie's set where I want to go on vacation, and the studio's going to pay for it. So why would I not do that? And why would I not invite all my friends to, you know, come and be in the movie? And why would I invite people that I know aren't going to give me what I want like in the movie? Like all the humor has already been established, like the brand of humor. So why don't they just get people who know what they're looking for? And when I heard him explain this, I was just like, oh yeah, why wouldn't you do that? Like, why don't people more people do that? You know, so much of comedies, especially like with studio comedies, it's like, you know, okay, like we're gonna, like it's a crossover. You get like, we're gonna have Will Ferrell, we're gonna have John C. Reilly, we're gonna have, you know, Seth Rogen and, you know, James Franco and all this like stuff. And like, it's a lot of like star power. And then with Adam Sandler movies, like the star, I mean, he's the star. You know, usually there's a, you know, like female love interest that's like the second biggest star in the movie. And then every now and then there's like a third like person in there. But it's really just him and his like usual cast of characters, which is great. You know, I have no problem with that now. So like, once you just like come to accept and realize, like, you know what, that's just what he does, and he's not trying to, you know, make like, we, I mean, you might not think what he's making is funny, but like, once you know like his motivation for doing it, it's just like, oh, good for you, man. Like, you know, he's just doing, like, he's getting a pay, it's a job, you know, like he's getting a paycheck, he's, you know, working with his friends in cool locations. Like, you know, the way he explains it, like, it just makes you think, like, why does it, shit, like, I want to do that. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I'm sure all these movies look like they're an absolute blast to be part of. And this one in particular, just, you know, with Halloween and the whole Salem thing, it's great. And you know, they kind of expand the cast a little bit in this one here. Like, Kenan Thompson was a great addition to this movie. He plays like a deputy in the police department in town, and he's hilarious in this movie. Like, and Kenan Thompson's a guy, it's like, he's just been on SNL for so long that it's like weird to see him outside of SNL, and it's almost like enjoyable, almost. Like, he was very, very funny in this movie, you know, even though he only has a bit part. Some of the other standouts in the cast for me, Tim Meadows and Maya Rudolph, I love their scenes together. They're, you know, two of the funnier character actors out there, especially comedically. I mean, Tim Meadows has, I mean, he tends to stick with the SNL crowd, you know, the SNL alumni, but I mean, he is so funny. Like, he is just so goddamn funny, and he can do so many different things. He's, you know, he can, like I said, he usually is in some sort of comedy, but you know, he can do wacky characters, he can be a straight man, he can, you know, he has his own unique, you know, brand of humor that we've come to expect. And I think watching him and Maya Rudolph, who, I mean, Maya Rudolph speaks for herself, she is one of the funniest women of all time, not just women, you know, one of the funniest, you know, people in show business, and she has been for the last 20 years. You know, whether it's her work on SNL, you know, so Maya Rudolph was in the cast when I first got interested in SNL. And I know I've talked about SNL a lot on here in the past, and I've shit on it a lot, but I do remember my days of it fondly. My days, as if I had something to do with it. Like, the era of, like, Amy Poehler, Tina Fey, Maya Rudolph, Rachel Dratch, Andy Samberg, Bill Hader, Jason Sudeikis, Will Forte, Will Forte, Fred Armisen, Daryl Hammond. That was Kenan, obviously, was on there. Like, that was, like, my, like, golden era of SNL. And Maya Rudolph, I mean, she was often the funniest person on the show. And then, you know, her movie career, she's done numerous, she's done big roles and small roles and, you know, numerous TV and film projects over the years. Mostly comedic, but we've seen her dive into drama a little bit. Away We Go, which was one of the first episodes we did. If you want to go all the way back into the archives, probably 200 episodes ago at this point. She was one of the, Away We Go is one of the first movies we did. She's amazing in that movie as well. Married to Paul Thomas Anderson, fun fact. I always forget about that. Yeah, just the her, so the scenes that her and Tim Meadows have are hilarious. Like, you know, she's dressed up like someone from the Addams Family or something, or Wife of Frankenstein, one of those things. And he is, like, Tim Meadows' costume is, like, he's a, how do I describe it? He's basically wearing, like, a body, and, like, the shoulders of the body look like it has no head, and that goes above his head, and then there's these arms that come down, and the costume is designed so that, like, his real head, it looks like it's being held by this other body. Might not make a ton of sense based on that visual description, but once you see it, you'll just be like, oh, okay, that's easy. just like some of the shit he gets to with his costume, like, you know, he's like eating stuff at like this drive-in theater, and he gets like he's eating stuff at a drive-in theater, and he gets food on like the fake hands that like his head is resting on. So he starts like sucking on the fingers of the fake hands, trying, and he's like looking at his wife like, yeah, does that turn you on? And she's just like outwardly like rejecting him. It's very, very funny. It really shouldn't be, but you know, it's one of I love Tim Meadows, man. We don't talk. Tim Meadows is a guy that doesn't get talked about nearly enough. Because if any fan of comedy in the last 25 years, Tim Meadows has probably been involved in some sort of project that you like. He's been in, he's ridden the wave with every, like, you know, he's a prominent feature in the Will Ferrell movies. He's a prominent feature in, like, when John C. Reilly went off, like, Dewey Cox or Wockhardt. Like, I mean, he's just been in so many different things. And he's killed it on TV, too. I mean, Tim Meadows needs a lot more love than he really gets. I think, wasn't he... I think he used to have the record for, like, longest tenured cast member or something like that on SNL, and then Daryl Hammond broke that, and then I think Keenan's broke that since, but the more you know. Okay, anyway, because we're trying to keep this episode short today, why don't we get some Did You Knows about Hubie Halloween. Okay, so first up, I actually remember the story. So on October 15th, 2020, Boston TV station WHDH announced that reporter Elena Pinto had been fired after appearing in this film as a news reporter because it violated her exclusive contract with the station. All right, so this was an interesting story that I actually remember picked up a lot of like national headlines at the time. So basically, like the story says, Elena Pinto was a news anchor in this area. Like, I'd seen her on the news before and things like that, and then she pops up in this movie, and one of the recurring jokes in the movie is that most of the women are dressed up like Harley Quinn for Halloween that year. So she goes on the news and she's dressed like Harley Quinn, and like, what she doesn't do or say anything that's particularly racy. It sounds like the issue that the station had with her was that, like, she just didn't tell them she was going to be in it, so she just, like, popped up. It's like, oh, I'm in an Adam Sandler movie. I mean, for a local news station to have your anchor be involved in, like, have a cameo in, like, a major theatrical production. I mean, I know, like, you know, it's a Netflix movie, it went straight to streaming, so, like, it's a little different. But to be in a project that has a lot of eyes on it, I mean, that's good publicity for your show. Like, I know there's no such thing as bad publicity, but now everyone's talking about, the station for just like, well, wait, why would they fire this woman? Like, she didn't do anything. Like, she literally didn't do anything. Like, that was one of those stories that I just couldn't get over. I don't know where she ended up. Actually, let's look it up. Elena Pinto, type her into the old Google machine. Someone just give me a straight answer. All right, Elena Pinto. Looks like she's still in Boston. I don't know. She went to the Patriots game today. Fun fact. That's just her Instagram, though. I don't really know what she's doing right now. But point stands. I don't know why they... I stand with Elena. I don't know why the station would fire for something like that. Okay, moving on. This is the third collaboration between Adam Sandler and Ben Stiller. They previously worked together in the Happy Gilmore and the Meyerowitz stories, which came out in 2017. So one of the great things about this movie is, you know, this ties into the whole, like, if you're a 90s Adam Sandler fan, like, there's little things in this movie that you'll pick up on. And one of them is that Ben Stiller reprises his role as, I think it's Hal, the orderly. Now he's working at a mental institution instead of, you know, the old folks home. And so it's kind of cool to see him in there for, you know, for a little bit. And the Meyerowitz stories, you know, I don't know anything about that, but, you know, one of the other, recurring bits they have, there's an O'Doyle family in town, and, you know, any, you know, Billy Madison fan knows about O'Doyle rules. There's this woman dressed like an old, like, Puritan lady or something like that, and what does she say? She says something about, I don't know, something about being horny. But it's the same lady who does the, you know, if peeing your pants is cool, consider me Miles Davis. So just like little shit like that is funny. So it kind of felt, you know, yeah, it's probably a little bit of pandering, just, you know, you give the fans what they want. But at the same time, it's like I said, once we've accepted what this movie is, I'm totally fine with that. Okay, what is next? Come on, let's end on a good one. We're getting there. This is the fourth film in which Steve Buscemi portrays a werewolf. The other three films being the Hotel Transylvania trilogy. Steve Buscemi. I love Steve Buscemi so much. He is one of my favorite character actors, a guy who can really do it all. You know, drama, comedy, you know, he can be goofy characters, he can be straight men, he can be, you know, intimidating gangsters, you know, bootleggers, and so many other things in between. So he's very funny in this movie as well. I don't know, something about him and the Adams, he has such an interesting background. Like, you know, he started off as a firefighter, you know, went to go pursue acting, gets his big break in Reservoir Dogs, and then, you know, he's in a couple other films, you know, during the time. And then I think their first collaboration would have been Billy Madison, you know, where he's the you know, his old friend from school that he used to bully, and when he calls him up and apologizes, he like crosses his name off the list of people to kill, and then he sits there, puts lipstick on. It's just like it's so bizarre. But man, I love Steve Buscemi. Love seeing him back in the Adam Sandler movies. Okay, Hubie Halloween, right? Let's rank it. Movie on a scale of 1 to 5 hazmats, I'm gonna give Hubie Halloween a generous 3. A very generous 3 hazmats here. Like, I know it's not the best comedy in the world, but it's just silly and stupid and light, and, you know, it's seasonal. It's like a Christmas movie, you know? Like, most Halloween movies are just horror and, you know, death and, you know, violence and gore and, like, all this other shit, and it's nice to just have a nice, like, lighthearted, like, oh yeah, like, this is just a funny thing. It's kind of like Hocus Pocus in a weird sort of way. But yeah, Hubie Halloween, I'll give it a generous 3 hazmats. Alright, let's get to some rapid-fire reviews. I don't really have too much to talk about this week. First up, the only other movie I watched this week was a movie called Freaky. Kept it in the Halloween spirit. Freaky is... it's on HBO Max now, and it is a movie... it's essentially Freaky Friday meets a horror movie. So instead of a mom and a daughter swapping bodies, it's a serial killer and a teenage girl swapping bodies. And Vince Vaughn plays the serial killer. Catherine Newton plays the girl in question here. And to be honest, I don't really recognize anyone else in the cast. But that's totally fine. You know, Vince Vaughn has had an interesting career over the last, like, decade or so. You know, we kind of stopped seeing him pop up in studio comedies, you know, at least the big budget ones. And, you know, he started doing some more dramatic roles. You know, True Detective comes to mind. Was it Brawl in Cell D or something like that? Yeah, Brawl in Cell Block 99. so, you know, we've seen him around. It's not like he stopped acting or anything like that. You know, he's trying new things, which is great. And Freaky is a movie that has no business being as funny as it is. Vince Vaughn has a great performance, you know, in the movie. I mean, it's very predictable, very basic. You know, it's clearly made for, you know, teenagers, young adults, that, you know, whole demo. But, I mean, it's like, it's Vince Vaughn is very funny in the movie. Everyone else, I didn't, like, really love it. The rest of it was just, like, super low-hanging fruit jokes, but you know, the fact that you have Vince Vaughn running around and talking like a, you know, like a 16-year-old girl is, you know, it's pretty amusing. There's one scene in particular where he's learning to pee standing up, which is again, movie is way more, it's way funnier than it has any business being. But I mean, it's gotten positive reviews. It's got a 6.4 on IMDb, which, you know, for horror movies or horror comedies, whatever you want to say, you know, two things that people are very, very judgmental on, you know, it's not bad. I do remember the movie getting some positive reviews when it came out, and that's what kind of prompted me to just like, oh, you know, like, I'll toss this on, see what it is. At first I was just like, oh shit, it's like one of these movies. I thought it was gonna be more you know, indie movie, but it had a very like studio you know, like cookie cutter kind of teen horror comedy vibe to it. But no, it was fine. Not better, it's not as good as Hubie Halloween, but it was perfectly fine in its own right. Yeah, so that's it. That's the only other movie I watched. The other things I watched, finished up Ted Lasso season 2. Great season of television. I know a lot of people are out there hating on it, you know, oh, it's not as funny as this, and they're, you know, they kind of spread the love out a little bit too much at times with the cast, you know, instead of focusing on like the main characters. And, you know, some people, they rag on the show for it being too positive or, you know, this and that, and those people can fuck off. Like, like who doesn't like Ted Lasso? It's a beautiful, beautiful show. Very well acted, very well written. Probably not as funny as the first one, but the characters are all very interesting. And, you know, there is conflict in the story, but just because it's a feel-good show doesn't necessarily mean that it's not without its dramatic moments. So, I loved it. I absolutely loved the season, and it left on a great note. You know, I won't get into too many spoilers here, but it leaves you wanting more right away. It kind of sets up season 3, you know, really, really nicely. So I'm looking forward to whenever the next season comes out, which is probably, I don't know, hopefully a year-ish from now at this point. But yeah, I'm all in on Ted Lasso. Great show. I also finished Squid Game on Netflix. Maybe I'll dive into a little bit more in the future, but don't want to go into spoilers or anything here. But overall, strong show. It was good, not great to me. Like, I understand why it's kind of taken over the world and, you know, it's become this global phenomenon. And, you know, we're big fans of international stuff. We spent the summer reviewing a lot of international movies. But, you know, dipping into Korean TV was kind of cool. Probably a couple episodes too long, in my opinion. I think you could have trimmed it down. But some of the editing in that show was just top-notch. You know, high stakes, high tension throughout. And very well executed, in my opinion. I just think the story could have been trimmed down just a little bit. A lot of people have a problem with, like, this, you know, the dubbing and the subtitles and the dialogue and stuff like that. But, like, people don't realize, like, it was written in, for, and performed in another language. Like, it doesn't, like, it sounds different. Like, English probably sounds weird to people in South Korea. So, like, the way that it's dubbed I do the subtitles. I can't stand dubbing. But yeah, it's like, I can't stand people who are just like, oh, like, the dialogue's weird. It's just like, well, no, yeah, it's written in another language. But I mean, that's part of the reason why I can't stand the dubbing, because, you know, people are saying what they're saying and it sounds weird, and in addition to already sounding weird because it's, you know, voiceover work. But I can't stand those people. just read the damn subtitles. I don't understand what's so hard about it. Plus, like, once you have the subtitles, you're forced to watch the movie. You know, you can't be on your phone, you can't be doing any of that other stuff. So I think that's probably why I enjoyed the show as much as I did, because I was a little more engaged with it than, you know, with most other shows. But yeah, it was good, not great. Could have been trimmed down a little bit. Didn't love the ending, but I don't want to go into spoilers here. But a couple of really, really great episodes in the middle there. All right, well, I think that's going to do it. I know I wanted to say 30 minutes or less, so I'm just over that, but let's wrap this up. Two things. One, if you're a fan of Survivor, go check out Somebody Snuff Me. It is my new Survivor podcast. We're doing weekly recaps and reactions to Survivor. New episodes come out every Thursday, so go check that out. It's Somebody Snuff Me. It's available at Snuff Me Pod. SNUFFMEPOD on Instagram and Twitter. You can find the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And speaking of this show, why don't you go subscribe to the show? We're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iTunes, you name it, we're there. You can also follow the show at Quarantinema Pod on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. So, in the meantime, don't be a hero, stay inside, and watch a movie.